Good morning. It's good to see you. It's good to be back together on this day that we devoted to worshiping our God and our Savior. I'm so glad you have made the decision to be here and to participate. I appreciate all those who stepped up to serve and have volunteered their time and effort to lead us in our worship today. This is a time of change and having to do things a little differently. Again, I want to say thank you for your patience and for your willingness to deal with this change, these times of changing. This week, I spent a little time thinking about time and change. You ever have that moment where maybe you look in the mirror and you start to think about, who is that person looking back at me? It's not the same person I remember looking earlier. There's maybe a little change in the hair color. Maybe the body doesn't look quite the same as it used to. You ever have that moment and you wonder where the years went? Where the time went? I had a moment like that this week. And I was like, whoa, you got old fast. You got older. I guess old is a relative term. And I was thinking a lot about, you know, can you imagine living during the time of the patriarchs when you have guys like Methuselah living over 900 years? With what I've done to my body, I don't know if I could survive that long. Just physically, you have to wheel me around the last 800 years. But one thing that is very apparent is that despite our unwillingness, time just keeps going on. You know, Solomon wrote about time in his book of Ecclesiastes when he wrote about, you know, there are all these times in life. But the idea of it is, it just keeps going, and I keep getting older, and time keeps going by, and I keep wondering what happened. What happened to the years? Eventually, we'll all get to that doorway that leads to the great beyond, and I wonder in my mind what that's going to be like, if I have a chance to wonder about it. What will I say about my life? It got me to thinking about legacies. And the kind of legacies that I'm going to leave. It got me to thinking about my life and its usefulness. What have I produced in my life? You know, James in James chapter 4, in the passage that Dwayne read for us, James writes about the futility of man's planning. We have lots of plans in our life. I wonder if sometimes we rely too much on plans. If we rely too much on what I can accomplish in regards to my life. In James chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Or what is life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, then vanishes away," or vanishes. "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I got to thinking about that and thinking about my life and my, if you will, legacy. You know, it won't be too long, too many years, if Jesus doesn't come back, that I'll be gone. And the world, you know, will move on. You ever think about that? The world just seems to keep rotating and people continue to live and time continues to pass on and our memories of people fade. What lasting impact will we have on our world? What will people remember about us? There's a passage in the book of Judges that I really like to think about. Judges chapter 2, as Joshua's life has ended, his time here on this earth is gone. And it speaks a little bit to his legacy in this life. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 7, it says about the people who followed Joshua. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. To me, that's a good report of the legacy of Joshua. The people served God all the days of his life. What was he devoted to? Well, he was devoted to serving God. And you see the impact of his example is that the people followed along with him. Joshua chose to make a difference in his day, not just in his own life, but in the lives of those who followed him. And then you go down to verse number 10. As his context continues, in verse number 10 of Judges 2, and all that generation who were also gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. So in verse 7, you see the impact of Joshua's life. You see the legacy of Joshua. And then in verse 10, you see the legacy of the sons of the nation of Israel, those who came after Joshua. And you see a stark contrast between the two, don't you? They left very different legacies from one another. When we depart this earth, and when we have been, hopefully, all of us here, are taken back to be with God, to be in Abraham's bosom, as we await the final day, what legacy will we leave behind? What is it that we are doing now that is going to impact generations to come? What have we devoted our lives to? Because that's really what our legacy is. What's your passion in life? What is it that you do with your time and your opportunity? Have you devoted your life to collecting a big bank account? You know, there's a parable told in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, that I think relates very well to this. In Luke 12 and verse 16, Jesus says in a parable, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Was he content with his use of time? Well, he thought so, right? He had made a plan. He decided, this is the way I'm going to use my time. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to fill them up. Notice verse number 20. As Jesus goes on, he says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So this is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The home you live in will one day belong to somebody else. The car you drive will one day belong to somebody else. The things you think you possess are not things you can take with you when you leave this life. When we meet God, when we see Jesus in the clouds, He will not be concerned about how much you had or how successful the world thought your life was in producing a big bank account. This man was called a fool because he was completely confused and mixed up about what was truly important. Psalm chapter 49 and verses 7 and following, the psalmist says it very well. In Psalm 49 verse 7, truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. That he should live on forever and never see the pit. There are some things in this life that truly are very important. And there are some things in this life that are not very valuable at all. The problem is, often we get confused on what those things are. Sometimes we get too involved in our life here and now to understand that this life is really not very long. That we're really not on this earth for very long. That our lives come to an end way too quickly. That there is something that's more important. And that's what Jesus is trying to get us to understand. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and following, you probably know the verse as well, where Jesus is trying to remind us and encourage us. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus understood something about us as human beings, that we are motivated by our passions in life. What are you truly passionate about? What is it that you struggle and strive for? What is it that you have devoted yourselves to? That's where your heart is. And so I ask myself a question, have I been in my life more devoted to me, to making me happy, to making me feel comfortable, to making me feel rich? Have I ended up making myself very poor toward God? What have I devoted my life to? Have I devoted my life to building a big bank account, to owning and possessing as much as I can? Or have I devoted myself to being rich toward God? Have I devoted myself toward collecting knowledge? We live in a very affluent society, a society that values education. You know, at this point in our nation's history, it's very important that you go to college. It's not any longer just an elective, but it is a necessity, because there is a very high price put on education. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think learning is important. Understanding our world better is important. But what kind of knowledge are we truly pursuing in our lives? In the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 21, there's something said about the Athenians. As Paul enters the city and he looks around and sees all those gods, and he meets with the Stoics and Epicureans, Luke makes this note about the Athenians in verse 21. They would spend their time in nothing except telling and hearing something new. Were they devoted to education, to higher learning? Absolutely. Had it brought them any closer to God? All their knowledge, all that they had studied and learned, they were no closer to their God. Where is our learning and our education taking us? Closer to God or further away? He goes on in that context to talk about that God desires that they would just grasp out for Him, to feel their way toward Him. Because He really wasn't very far away, but yet in all their learning and all their pursuit of education, they were not finding God. It's because they chose to look in the wrong places. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he writes something about some who are always learning, yet never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Always learning, yet never able to achieve at truth. I think it's very sad when we look around and we see so many people in our world who are striving toward knowledge and understanding, who spend vast amounts of money, time, and effort in learning, and yet they yet fail to learn the most important things in this life. They're ignorant of the truth. Learning is important, and it is valuable. Yet it is also important at what we're trying to learn, at what kind of education we're striving toward. Paul goes on later in that same chapter, if you drop down to verse 14, to remind Timothy of where to direct his learning. In verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." In our learning, in our education, what do we devote ourselves to? Our world has ventured far from God in its learning. It has striven to write God away, to get rid of God. And it apprises things, a type of learning that actually rids our world of knowledge of God. And it can seem daunting when we think about educating our children and our grandchildren. But I'm reminded of what's said in Acts 17. If you go back there with the Athenians, verse 27, Paul says to them that they should seek God and perhaps feel or grasp for Him, feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. God has made it accessible and something that we can discover is the truth about Him. Every one of us here, I bet, has more than one copy of this in our homes, on our computers, on our phones. Knowledge is there. Truth is there for us to grasp at, for us to learn from. It's on us to go and seek that knowledge, to seek that truth, and to rely only on it for our understanding. Have we devoted ourselves to collecting things? Have we devoted ourselves to learning things that are not important? Have we devoted ourselves to collecting accolades? Nothing wrong with winning a trophy or a reward for work that was well done. But I think there is a slippery slope when we begin to look for the praise of men rather than the praise of God. When we become more devoted to seeking after men's praise and men's appreciation rather than the appreciation of our God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus gives us a warning about what motivates us and what motivates our activity. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." You must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. What motivates us in our lives? What are we seeking after from other people? What are we seeking after from God? He goes on in verse number 6. He says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Sometimes being a seeker of God does not bring the praise and applauding of people. And we can see it in our world even now that being a child of God is not the most popular thing to do. Our world is never going to be one that praises the works of God. As Christians, we'll always stand opposed to what the world stands for. We have to be okay with that. We will never be successful in serving God if we're more concerned about what other people think about us. Are we willing to risk being unfriended by the world in order to serve God. Now, what I'm not saying is that we need to seek after people's disapproval. I think there are some people that just seek after the disapproval of others because it makes them feel good for some reason. That, in their way, is a way to receive a reward, an accolade. I'm not seeking after men's disapproval, but at the same time, I'm not going to let man's disapproval of God's calling to make me stop doing what God wants me to do. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks us a question, a very important question. Matthew 16 and verse 26. He says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What shall a man give in return for his soul?" That seems like a pretty simple question, right? Who in here wants to give away their soul, their eternity? If I were to ask that question, I bet not one hand would go up. But the real question is, have we given our soul in exchange for something else? We all know what the right answer is, but that's not always the way we live our lives. What have I devoted myself to? What kind of legacy will I leave behind? Death is one of those inescapable realities. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrews writer writes and warns us that it is appointed for man to die once. That's an appointment that each and every one of us is going to meet. The real question is, will I be prepared for that day to come? He ends that verse in Hebrews 9:27 by saying, "And after that comes the judgment." What does my life say about me? What have I devoted myself to? What legacy will I leave behind? Joshua left a legacy of faithfulness. And others followed that legacy. Unfortunately, the sons that came after Joshua did not leave the same legacy for their children. They did not leave a legacy of faithfulness, but a legacy of unfaithfulness. And others followed that example as well. At the end of life, God doesn't care how much money you have. God doesn't care how much education you've learned, if it's not the truth. God doesn't care how many accolades you've gained or accumulated. What God is going to care about is, have I left a legacy of faithfulness that others can follow? Have you stored up treasures in heaven for yourself? If you would, let's bow in a word of prayer. Almighty God and Father above, we thank you so much for loving us in spite of our weakness, in spite of our failings. Thank you, Father, for caring for us, for being kind to us. Father, we pray that you'll help us to really consider what kind of legacy we're leaving behind, what kind of example we're demonstrating to those who will follow after us. What kind of legacy am I leaving for my children and my grandchildren, for my friends and my family? Father, we thank you so much for the greatest of all examples, Jesus Christ, for the legacy he's left behind, for the life that he lived, for the grace and mercy he showers upon us. Father, help me and help us all to live up to that example, to try to be more like Christ every day in our lives. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. Thank you, Father, for saving us. And thank you, Father, for adding us to your kingdom. Father, most of all, thank you for Jesus. It's in his name I offer this prayer. Amen.